Footnote Press presents Spinning Out, written and read by me, Charlie Herzog-Young. This audiobook is neither an attempt to alarm people and cause psychological distress, nor is it a self-help audiobook, but it does explicitly engage with suicidality, serious mental health issues, and ecological devastation. It's a hard line to walk, but I hope I've done it in a way that helps people feel comfortable and safe. Full disclosure, I've done my best to research and pronounce all the people, places, and things mentioned here in languages I don't speak, but I am limited in my experiences, so please be aware that I might have inadvertently mispronounced a few things. For the mad, the weird, and the wild, all those who dream awake. I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept. Angela Yvonne Davis. The civilized can pretend to be emotionally healthy, as they do not commit genocide and destroy land bases, but instead take what they need to develop their advanced state of human society. This is how we can all pretend to be sane, as no one kills the planet. Derek Jensen, Endgame, Volume 1. Seven Stories Press, New York, 2006. Introduction. Is it hot in here, or is it just me? I'm pretty mad, by conventional standards, but I'm nowhere near as mad about it as I used to be. I first noticed the divergence nearly 20 years ago when I was 12. That was the year that the immensity of climate change properly entered into my awareness. It hit me like a planetary death drive, a bodily horror that made me want to disappear. I wanted no part in the pallid, hollow ways we lived, the suffering it entailed. Paradoxically, this new meaninglessness of the dominant culture somehow gave my life a charge, a frenetic, revolutionary meaning I had never felt before. It was an odd sense of belonging, especially in the lonely moments when I saw humankind as an ecological mistake. I was divorced from consensus reality and wedded to visions of utopian futures. To me, these projections became just as real as the material world everyone else thought I lived in. They were just as real, too, as the flickering visions of climate apocalypse. That same year, as I was reeling from the realization that the world was probably about to end, my family lived out its own private doom. My grandmother went missing. We put up posters around the Isle of Wight where she had lived. Even on the pinned-up printouts, she looked forlorn. My dad went from pillar to pillar, an abandoned boy. He told us she would be fine, trying to suppress the fear that his words were just consoling lies. It took 6 months for her to be found. She had jumped off a cliff. Her body had been in the sun, the wind, and the rain, and was found in a remote cove by a child exploring the coastline on a fishing trip. She was identified by her teeth and a metal pin in her elbow. I remember telling some friends at school that she had died by suicide. They told me she was in hell for killing herself. As often happens for kids, these two dramatic episodes fused themselves in my psyche. Climate change has loomed over me ever since as an unpredictable harbinger of death. It's an embodied fear and fury that has led to a lot of mental unraveling. Climate change was a mythological counterpoint to a world I felt was pointless. At times, it was a terrifying but exciting herald of apocalypse. Sometimes that gave me a powerful need to be an activist, to rebel. Other times, it was an inescapable reason to destroy myself, just as we are destroying the planet, a rebellion of a different, darker kind. What was happening in my formative youth was the cresting of a disorder of the mind, fueled by having to live on a fundamentally disordered planet, one that was threatening to shake us off its back for what we had done and for what we continued to do. For years, climate change was my everything. I started out giving talks in schools, pamphleteering, getting people to attend screenings of climate change movies. I got involved in community organizing and set up a Green Council at my secondary school. I somehow won a national award. At the ceremony, I helped orchestrate a stunt from the toilets of 10 Downing Street, where a friend of mine superglued himself to Gordon Brown. Latching onto the then Prime Minister, he shouted, "You might be able to unstick my hand, but you won't be able to unstick yourself from the problem of climate change."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?